Welcome to SCOTUSCast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-decision episode of SCOTUSCast, Prisoner, Habeas, and Investigative Funding Edition. I'm your host, Bridget Flaherty. On March 21st, 2018, the Supreme Court decided Ayestas v. Davis. In 2009, Manuel Ayestas, who had been convicted in Texas State Court of murder and sentenced to death, sought federal habeas relief in federal district court under Title 28 of the United States Code, Section 2254. He claimed that his trial counsel had acted ineffectively by failing properly to investigate all potentially mitigating evidence, including lack of a criminal history in Ayestas' native Honduras, schizophrenia, and addiction to drugs and alcohol. As Ayestas had not raised this ineffective assistance claim in an earlier state court habeas petition, the district court rejected the claim as procedurally defaulted. In 2012, however, the U.S. Supreme Court held in Martinez v. Ryan that procedural default of a trial-level ineffective assistance of counsel claim could be overcome by a showing that the claim was substantial and that a state habeas counsel was ineffective in failing to raise the trial-level ineffective assistance claim in state habeas proceedings. Although Martinez involved an Arizona prisoner, the court further made clear in 2013, in Trevino v. Thaler, that Martinez applied to Texas prisoners as well. In light of these developments, the dismissal of Villasis' trial-level claim of ineffective assistance of counsel was vacated, and the case remanded. On remand, Ayestas filed a motion for investigative assistance under Title 18 of the United States Code, Section 3599F, seeking a mitigation specialist in order to further develop his ineffective assistance of trial counsel claim. In 2014, the district court denied the funding request and habeas petition, concluding that neither Ayestas' trial nor state habeas counsel had been constitutionally ineffective, and that a mitigation specialist was not therefore, quote, reasonably necessary, end quote. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit affirmed, relying on a circuit precedent indicating that a Section 3599F funding applicant cannot show investigative services are, quote, reasonably necessary, unquote, unless the applicant can show that he has a, quote, substantial need for those services. By a vote of 9-0, the Supreme Court vacated the judgment of the Fifth Circuit and remanded the case. In an opinion delivered by Justice Alito, the unanimous court, after confirming its jurisdiction, held that the lower courts applied too stringent a standard in assessing Ayestas' funding request. What Section 3599F calls for, the court indicated, is a determination by the district court in the exercise of its discretion as to whether a reasonable attorney would regard the requested services as sufficiently important, guided by certain considerations. These include the potential merit of the claims that the applicant wants to pursue, the likelihood that the services will generate useful and admissible evidence, and the prospect that the applicant will be able to clear any procedural hurdles standing in the way. Justice Sotomayor filed a concurring opinion, which was joined by Justice Ginsburg. And now, to discuss the case, we have Dominic Dre, Solicitor General of the State of Arizona.
Hi, I'm Dominic Dre, and the Federalist Society has generously invited me back to admit that I was wrong. Well, wrong in part. But before we get to my public shaming, here's a little background on Ayestas v. Davis. The petitioner in this case was convicted of capital murder for beating and strangling a 67-year-old Houston woman in the course of robbing her. His trial counsel presented very little mitigation evidence, owing in part to Ayestas' refusal to allow his lawyer to contact his family in Honduras, that is, until the eve of trial. At that point, the lawyer implored the family to attend the trial and attempted to arrange for their travel. They declined. A second legal team then entered to represent Ayestas on direct appeal, and a third set of lawyers joined for his state habeas petition, and finally a fourth group represented him in seeking federal habeas corpus. This fourth group, in 2009, decided to assert that Ayestas' trial counsel was ineffective for failing to discover all available mitigation evidence. Consistent with that theory, the new lawyers, or the new lawyers, requested funding for investigation under 18 U.S.C. Section 3599F, which permits district courts to allocate funds to habeas petitioners when reasonably necessary, that's the quoted language from the statute, reasonably necessary, for their representation. Here's where the issues attracting the Supreme Court's attention come up. First, the ineffective assistance claim is procedurally defaulted because it was not presented on state habeas, or at least that was the rule back in 2009. A 2012 case, Martinez versus Ryan, changed the default rule. Now, there is no default if state habeas counsel was also ineffective in failing to point out the trial lawyer's ineffectiveness. Under those circumstances, Martinez v. Ryan allows the defaulted claim to appear for the first time in federal habeas proceedings. But proving that chain of incompetence requires some investigation into the strength of the undiscovered mitigation evidence, hence the funding request under Section 3599F. But remember that statutory language, funding is available only if reasonably necessary. The Fifth Circuit denied funding as not reasonably necessary in this case after applying its interpretation of the critical statutory term. The Fifth Circuit's test requires, quote, substantial need. And here's the issue that the Supreme Court agreed to review. Was the Fifth Circuit's test overly demanding? Actually, there was a second issue in the case concerning the reviewability of funding decisions in the first place, but I correctly predicted that the court would allow judicial review of these decisions, and what's the point of discussing the stuff that I got right? On the meatier question of the appropriate standard, the court unanimously held, in an opinion written by Justice Alito, that the Fifth Circuit's test, quote, suggests a heavier burden than the statutory term reasonably, end quote. It arrived at this conclusion by observing that the term necessary in Section 3599F must mean something less than strictly essential. After all, the language is reasonably necessary, and no one ever says something is reasonably essential. So although the Fifth Circuit tracked the statute by including the word need, which is equivalent to necessary, it might have gone too far in adding substantial to the requirement rather than reasonably. So the Fifth Circuit changed reasonably necessary to a substantial need. Ultimately, the court summarizes this linguistic comparison by observing that, quote, although the difference between the two formulations may not be great, petitioner has a point, end quote. At a practical level, it's not likely that this holding will change much. The court confirmed that the funding provision is discretionary. It says may rather than shall. And that district courts faced with such requests are required to consider the potential merit of the claims that the applicant wants to pursue, as well as the likelihood that the investigatory services will generate useful and admissible evidence. And on top of that, district courts are to consider any procedural bars to raising the claims in question. Indeed, the requirement that district courts inquire into what the Supreme Court called, quote, the utility of the services requested, implies that Section 3599 will not support every search for evidence. This is where my earlier analysis in a previous podcast was off the mark. At oral argument, several justices' questions indicated that the inquiry into the merit of a 3599 investigation would foreclose funding for a defaulted claim. Remember that Martinez had not yet been decided when Iestis's habeas counsel requested funding to explore the defaulted ineffective assistance claim. Under those circumstances, it appeared from oral argument, there would not be enough utility to the investigation to justify funding. There was one other issue mentioned in the court's opinion that is near and dear to me. That is the alternative basis for affirming the Fifth Circuit's decision that our office advanced on behalf of a coalition of states. I should probably mention here that I serve as the Solicitor General of Arizona, and we filed a brief in this case urging the court to affirm the denial of funding because Iestis' ineffective assistance claims were barred by a different provision of AEDPA, namely Section 2254E2, which bars the introduction of evidence in habeas proceedings if that evidence was previously discoverable. By definition, evidence that trial counsel failed to discover but should have, which is the essence of an ineffectiveness claim, was discoverable at the time. The court noted that Texas is free to make this point on remand, but it declined to take it up in the first instance. Finally, Justices Sotomayor and Ginsburg filed a concurring opinion explaining that the investigation in this case is plainly necessary in their estimation and should get funding on remand. In light of the court's extended discussion of the lower court's discretion and the requirement that they consider the utility of an investigation, and indeed the possibility that the Fifth Circuit's test might be functionally equivalent to the statutory requirement already, I suspect that funding remains an outside chance.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.